Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 2. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. In our Bible study a moment ago, we saw that John the Baptist's message that he was given by God to preach was repent. That's the message he was given. And we saw that that word repent means have a changed mind about all these things. What I'd like for us to look at now is the message of a changed mind. John preached the message of repentance. That's the message of Scripture. And that's the message that every man who is called to stand up and preach must preach. Must. There is only one thing to say. Really, there's only one thing to say. There's only one thing to be believed concerning God, concerning man, concerning salvation, and that is the message that God has declared in His Word. It's the same all the way through it. It doesn't change. The message of the first page is the message of the last page. What God has written in His Word. I'd like for us to look at that message this morning. God sent through John the Baptist. God sent a true preacher with a true message. And I'd like for us to look at that message. And I pray that God will give us the mind and the heart to believe it. That's my prayer. Matthew 3, verse 1, it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make His paths straight. That's the prophecy concerning John that was given in Isaiah 40. Our brother just read that for us. I read something about the wording of that prophecy, and I enjoyed this so much. I hope this hits your heart like it hit mine. John Gill, we have these commentaries, these men from years past who the Lord revealed things of the truth to, and then they read men before them and such on and so forth, and this has been passed along. And John Gill and a few of the other commentary writers pointed out that our Lord has always written to us in a language that we can understand. He said, babes can understand this. And that's why our Lord preached to us in parables. When He came, He preached in parables. He declared His Word to us with stories and with images that we can relate to. So we can really understand Him, really understand what He's saying. But John Gill and some of these men, John Gill is a good man for history. He'll point out just a lot of historical facts that are good to know. And he pointed out that in Isaiah's day, a very common thing that would happen and very common terminology that would be used when kings would travel somewhere. All these different countries had kings. And they would travel from place to place. And this was very common to be done. There was someone, and I believe it's pronounced a harbinger. If it's not, it's not. But that was a person who was a heralder. An announcer. would go before the king to announce his coming. And as he went, he took servants with him. A whole bunch of servants came with him. And this harbinger's job was to point out to those servants any high spots in the road that needed to be cut down. And any low spots in the road that needed to be filled in. And any rocks or any tree limbs that needed to be gotten rid of. His commission was to remove all hindrances. That's what his job was. Whichever way the king was going to be traveling, he'd go along first and he would inspect it and he'd say, "That's too high, cut it off." And he'd say, "That's too low, fill it in." And he'd say, "That's not necessary, that's just a stumbling stone, get rid of it. It needs to be removed." His commission was to remove all hindrances. His commission was to make the path straight for the king. That's the commission of every true preacher sent with a true message. That's the commission. That is the commission. His first commission is to remove all hindrances. Every hindrance that is contrary to the way of the king. Is it a stumbling stone? Get rid of it. Is it a rut to get stuck in? Get rid of it. Is it a high spot of pride? Get rid of it. We're preparing the way of the Lord. We're preparing the way of the Lord. That's what the messenger's true message does. It tears down and it removes everything in the flesh that is contrary to the way of the Lord. That's what it does. What is the way of the Lord? Christ alone. The Lord alone. That's the way of the Lord. The Lord alone. The messenger with the true message cuts down man's self-righteousness. That's what it does. And it fills in man's empty religion. Men come in here all kinds of ways. And the true message from the true messenger cuts off all the self-righteousness. Cut it down. And all the empty religion, fill it in. And it removes every work of the flesh. Every work of the flesh. It throws away every glory that is not committed to Christ alone. Get rid of it. And as soon as that's done, the true message of God announces, once all that's done and out of the way, the true message of God announces the straight way of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. The King that has come in all of his glory. All that hindrance is done away with, and then the herald goes out. The King in all of his glory has come. The straightway cries, "Let no flesh glory in his presence." The straightway cries, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ Jesus my Lord. If any man glory, let him glory in the Lord." That's the straight way. That's the straight way. Now let's read that in John's message. We're going to look at a few places where John had something to say. There's a few portions of Scripture where John had something to say. And through this one that God ordained to prepare the way of the Lord, we're going to see a true preacher with a true message. If you want to see, honestly, a true preacher with a true message, here it is right here. Matthew 3, verse 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism," the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were the religious people. "And he saw them come to his baptism." And what that means is they weren't coming to Christ. That's what it means. He saw, he perceived that they were not coming to Christ. They were coming to his baptism, not necessarily to be baptized of him, but just to see what all the fuss was about. But this was his message to them. Verse 7. "When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?'" Vipers, poisonous snakes, the poison of asps, poison on their lips. "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" This is what he told them. "You're trusting in your religion." That's what he told them. And this is what the true message of the true messenger from the true God declares to anyone who is trusting in anything other than Christ. "You're trusting in the wrong thing." And that message goes out in love. That's a loving message. That's a message of kindness, because it's a message of life and it's a message that saves. But he said to them, "You are trusting in your religion, and it's not going to save you." That's a shocking thing for someone in religion to realize. Religion doesn't save people. "Well, he's a religious man." Oh, well, maybe God will grant repentance. Verse 8, he said, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." The Apostle Paul was a man who was so steeped in his religion, and he, by the grace of God, brought forth fruits meet for repentance. He said, "I changed my mind." What he said was, "God changed my mind. When it pleased God, he changed my mind. And now I count it all dung." So verse 8, he said, "Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not." You see how he's saying, don't think this way. Have a changed mind. Repentance. Think not. Think a different way. Have a changed mind. Verse 9, "Think not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham to our father.' For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." Don't think, and this is something that people think. See if this hits you. This is something that people think. He said, don't think, "Well, we're all saved. We're all saved. Abraham's my father." Why? Well, just because we are. I mean, we just are. I mean, my parents were, my grandparents were. We just are. We're just saved people. It's just a generational thing. It just keeps getting passed on generation to generation. We're just saved people. John said, don't think that way. John said, get rid of that. Get rid of that mindset. This is what John said. A fire is coming. Verse 10, he said, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit. What's good fruit? This fruit of repentance. From me to Christ. Every tree which bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He said, every soul that does not stop looking to the deeds of the flesh and does not by faith start looking to Christ is going to be cut down and cast into the fire. The wages of sin is death. That's what the scripture says. And the soul that sinneth shall surely die. That's what the scripture says. There is a great eternal judge that we must stand before, and life and death are in his hands. And man says, oh, he's not like that. He just loves and hugs and welcomes. John said, don't think that way. An axe is laid to the root. A fire has been kindled. That's what he's saying. Have a changed mind about this. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me. There's a little key right there. There's a three-letter word, B-U-T, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. What did he say right there? He said, there is hope. At Isaiah 40, where the commandment was given to John, our God started out by saying, comfort ye my people. He said, John, you tell them all flesh is grass. The grass wither, the grass fades. The word of God is going to stand forever. You cry, behold your God. Comfort them. Comfort them. And John said, yeah, there's a lot of chaff, but God has some wheat too. And he said, there is one coming after me who is mightier than I. There is one coming after me who is able to do something for us. By his Spirit, baptizing us into him, immersing us, plunging us, covering us in him, he's able to purge his wheat, the ones he's chosen to save, with fire. They're going to go into the fire. He's able to purge them and yet still spare them. And he's able to gather them to himself. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. With his people in him, with them being baptized into him, he endured the fire. That's what he did. He purged his floor. That means he cleaned house. He got rid of the dirt. He got rid of every spot and every stain. He judged the sin of his people by immersing himself with them in him into the fire. And it was burned up. Judgment came. That's where the true message begins. The true message of the true messenger. That's where it begins. It begins with a holy God who must punish sin. And then it comes with a glorious Savior who endured the punishment of that sin for his people. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, 'Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locust and wild honey, and preached, saying, 'There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost.'" John said, "Oh, what he's going to do for you." This was his message. Oh, the glory of being immersed by God's Spirit into this man. He said, "I'm immersing you into water. But God's Spirit is going to immerse you into him." And oh, the mighty power of being saved that there is in him. That was his message. Well, John, tell us about him. All right. Turn to John 1. John 1, verse 6, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." John said, "The sin and the wickedness of man was great, but God sent a Savior." Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." John said, even though I was born 6 months before he was before me. He's eternal. He's from eternity. Verse 16, and he said, "Of his fullness have all we received," of his absolute fullness, "and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." I pray the Lord would reveal that to us. He said, Moses told us what God demanded, to stand in his presence, for us to be saved. Moses told us, but we couldn't fulfill it. So Christ came and fulfilled it for us. Verse 17, "The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? Elijah? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. Art thou that prophet? He answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. He said, if I make this about me, they kept saying, what's your name? Tell us your name. He said, I'm not going to tell you. If I make this about me, I will be nothing but a hindrance in the way of the Lord. Not unto me. Not unto me. I remove myself from any part of this declaration that all eyes may be on him. That is truly preparing his way. Making his way straight. Verse 24. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptized with water. That's it. I'm just illustrating a picture of something. There's no salvation in me or in anything that I can do for a man. It's only a picture of him. It's only pointing men to him. Making straight way to him. That's all it is. Verse 26, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. John Gill pointed this out too. This was a real blessing to me. He said, in those days, a Hebrew servant could be asked to do almost anything by his master except tie and untie his shoes. They didn't do it. They didn't ask that. It was too low. That was too reproachful. Only a Canaanitish servant could be asked to do that. Not a Jewish servant. John Gill said, one of the Jews' canons said, it was written, if thy brother is become poor and is sold unto thee, thou shalt not make him do the work of a servant that is any reproachful work, such as to buckle his shoes or unloose them. You can ask him to do anything, but don't ask him to do that. That's just too low. That is just too low. John the Baptist said, he is so far above me. I'm not even worthy to unbuckle his shoes. I'm not even worthy. That would be too great of an honor for me. That's the true message that brings repentance. Verse 28, these things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I have always envisioned John's message as being hard, fiery, axe laid to the root. But do you know John preached a very sweet gospel? He said, you behold, you look at him. That's the Lamb of God that has taken away the sin of the world, the sin of his people. The Lamb slain before time is the Lamb slain in time. The spotless, innocent substitute for God's people. The one who came to give his body and give his blood the one who God the Father said, when I see his blood, I'll pass over you. When I see his blood on you, I'll pass over. When I see that he has come to the fire won't come to you. Verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. John said, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. This is the God-man. This is God manifest in the flesh. This is the Savior. This is the Redeemer. This is the Shepherd of the sheep. This is the husband of the bride. This right here is the friend of sinners. This is him. Well, John, do you have any final words about him? Do you have any closing remarks? John, I've heard how you started your message with his holiness and man's sin against him. And I heard you say that the only hope that there is in the fact that he came. He's the one who came and gave himself for his people. You have any closing remarks as God's true preacher carrying God's true message? John said, I sure do. Turn with me to John 3 and look at verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John was also baptizing in Aenon near to Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized, for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, John said, these are my final words on this. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Verse 27, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. I'm telling you, that right there is a changed mind. That is a changed mind. The natural mind says, he must come down and I must go up and we're going to meet in the middle. But the mind of repentance that comes from the true message of the true messenger is, verse 30, he must keep on increasing, and I must keep on decreasing. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. John said, that's it. It all comes down to him. It all hinges on him. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Well, where's the part where my role comes in? That part's not in the message of repentance. Well, where's that part where I have to let him do all that for me? That part's not in the message of repentance. John said, this is God's work and God's work alone. And may God convince us of that. May God truly convince us of that. Lord, let us love your finished work. Let us love you increasing and us decreasing. That makes God's people so happy. So happy. That is the love and the heart and the salvation of repentance. May God give it to us. You know, when God does, when he grants repentance, his child says, that's the way I want it to be. When he says, that's how it is, change your mind to that right there. God's child cries, amen. That's what I want. May God give it to us. All right, let's all stand together.